Preachers in Ballymena have been asked to keep the noise levels down at a park in the town. Some members of the public, hoping to enjoy a quiet day in the People's Park, said they were upset by the outdoor preaching and found it too loud. Council officials had a word with members from Ballymena Gospel Hall and got them to agree to turn down the volume because of the complaints. Preachers are no strangers to our streets and towns and cities, of course, across Northern Ireland. Have a listen to this American preacher in action in Belfast City Centre last year.
I believe somebody needs to read the Bible out loud to Belfast. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. God wants to save you, Belfast. God wants to save you.
Any problem with that? It's free speech, isn't it? Or actually, do you think there should be some type of restraint around the level that people can shout in a public space? The commentator Malachy O'Doherty is with us today. Morning to you, Malachy.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning with Reverend David McElveen. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What do you make of this, Malachy?
Well, I think that certainly if people are using loud hailers in the public park, you know, there are bylines governing that and therefore it shouldn't happen. I mean, I do remember an incident which I witnessed and actually featured on the Talkback program some years ago where I was in Botanic Gardens and people were wanting to play with Frisbee in front of a group of evangelicals who were preaching. And the people with the Frisbees were the ones who were asked to settle down and stop disrupting this, whereas I was saying, well, actually, you know, a park is for enjoying yourself in. I think there's a live and let live thing to it. I don't think you should be using loud hailers in a public park. A park is a place for leisure. I appreciate that the church involved has understood that and accepted that. On the other hand, and I mean, this might kind of surprise you coming from me, but I mean, evangelical religion is an intrinsic part of our culture here, and we are familiar with it. And in the same way that, for instance, if you were in a Muslim city, you wouldn't be particularly annoyed because you'd be accustomed to the muezzin and the call to prayer from the mosque. In the same way, we are already acclimatized and used to preachers calling from street corners, calling in front of the city hall, and we can shut them out because we've heard them so much they are almost like background noise. Therefore, I would not be that much worried about this. I do appreciate that the guys in this case got the message to tone it down, and they've agreed to do that. And personally, I think that's fine.
You know? David McElveen, Reverend David McElveen, you fear for the future in terms of a clash between the church and the state on issues like this.
I think that's true, Stephen. Unfortunately, well, let me commend the Ballymena Gospel Hall members for doing what they did and for going out into the public arena to preach the message of the gospel that they very passionately, like many of us, believe in. I also recognise that while that is a tremendous privilege, in every other part of Christian ministry, we have got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And our whole objective is to win people and to persuade people to repent of their sin, to come to a knowledge of Christ. Now, Malachy is absolutely right that open-air preaching has been an integral part of Christian life, even from Old Testament times right through to this present generation. But it does bring responsibilities, and I think we have to be sensitive. It is our desire to win souls, not to drive people away. But I do fear that the state is beginning to interfere in evangelical matters and issues like same-sex marriage and so on, are bringing the church into conflict with the state. And I think we're going to face a collision course sooner rather than later. And the church is going to be faced with a major challenge, whether to bow to the dictates of the state or to conform to their own conscience according to the Bible.
Malachy?
I think one of the difficult things for the evangelical churches in particular is getting their head around the idea that they are one opinion among many in the public square. And I think, you know, their opinion is that they are right and that they have a responsibility to make an effort to convert me. For instance, any time I ever interviewed Ian Paisley, he would always make that wee effort to get me over the line. And you know, so it's a proselytizing church. It's a proselytizing religion that wants to go out there and get new members and win souls. And they see themselves as being like the fireman hosing down your house because they're saving you from the fire of hell. So they're making an intervention to save you. Whereas if you don't actually feel that your house is on fire, then the fireman hosing it down is just being a nuisance. And in some ways, you know, what was exemplary about the Ballymena case and about much of what David has just said is that there was the understanding that where you're not wanted, you tone it down and you back off. And a lot of this is about good manners in the public space. But I do think that it is a slightly embarrassing thing, and it is a difficult thing to deal with, that there are people out there whose commitment and whose work and whose pledge and whose sense of religious mission is that they must reach out to people who have no notion of what they're talking about and no interest in what they're talking about, but they must get across to them this message of salvation. And actually, you know, that there's a peskiness written into the very nature of that activity. There's something slightly, you know, they are a bit of a pest, but I come back to the idea, good manners in the public square, and an understanding that the public square is a place where a variety of opinions prevail, and no one person can say,
well, what about this actual story, David McElveen? The preachers in Ballymena have been asked to keep the noise levels down at a park in the town. Like, are people entitled to tranquility in a park if they want it?
I think that's right. I think that's what I emphasised earlier, Stephen, that there has to be a degree of sensitivity with regard to how you communicate the message of the gospel. Now, I know that Malachy is dismissing the compassion and the concern that these people, and many of us do have, you know, for the souls of the people. We don't have a monopoly of truth. We recognize that souls are eternal. We believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to the soul's salvation. And therefore, compassionately, I meet Malachy from time to time. And, you know, I respect him very much for who he is. But at the same time, I do think of him, think of others as well, yourself too, and know that we all are here for a very short time, and there is an eternity which we believe is either heaven or hell. Therefore, as gospel preachers, we compassionately and lovingly seek to convey that message to the people. Now, we must do it with sensitivity. And gospel open-air preaching is an attribute of civil and religious liberty. You would not have a gospel open-air preaching in Saudi Arabia or Yemen or any other Islamic governed country. We should value what we have in terms of our freedom.
Here's Darren. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Stephen.
Sorry, Malachy. Go ahead, Darren.
If we can just quickly address a point where David McElveen said that the state's poking its nose into religion. If maybe if religion stopped poking its nose into the state, they could do it vice versa. But back to, that's a story for another day. Back to this, if I want preached to, I go to church. I'll happily go to church if I want that. I don't need somebody standing with a loudspeaker or two. I'll tell you, I was in Ballyclare one day. There was a guy in the back of his car with a microphone and two big speakers that you would see in a nightclub, fire and brimstone preaching. Now, my wee girl's visually impaired, so her hearing's very, very sharp. She was in tears because of the noise. It was booming right up and down Ballyclare Main Street. Now, really, do you want to go out on a Saturday to listen to that? Is there any need for it? Is that not what their churches are for? Rather than go out in the street and torture everybody else?
David?
Well, I certainly don't think there's any merit in being aggressive and seeking to prejudice people. And I think, as I said before, it has to be carried out with a sensitivity and with an appreciation of the people that you're ministering to. But, I mean, there is the other side of the story where people are living beside sports arenas, where there's roars of the crowd over, you know, maybe an hour and a half or a two-hour period. And very few people object to that. And so we have to tolerate it. As Malachy has said, there is an accommodation. But I do urge every open-air gospel preacher to be faithful to God's word, but also to recognize that while we have a tremendous privilege, we also have a responsibility in how we communicate that message to the people.
You know, you're saying
you have to give it out and you have to listen to it and you have to put up with, like, sports stadiums and stuff like that. We'll go back to this bus driver's story. Nobody wanted to listen to what he said. I don't want to listen to what you have to say. Therefore, I do not go to church. However, I want to go out shopping on a Saturday. I shouldn't be exposed to what you believe, shouting and bawling, either with a loudspeaker or even just with your voice. I shouldn't have to listen to it if I don't want to listen to it. Is that not what your churches are for? To minister. So why take it to the streets?
But generally, as you will appreciate, that people are just passing by at a given moment. Yeah, they're going to hear something, and then they're away from it, and it's over within a matter of seconds, literally. Others will stand and listen because they've an interest.
It's not what your church is for. It's not. Yes. It's your church not to minister to people.
But listen to what the Bible says, in that we are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. You know, we're seeking to
listen to what the Bible says. I have no interest in what the Bible says, yes, therefore I shouldn't be exposed to your views.
But that's the point. And you're not being exposed to it because you're actually closing yourself off, you know, from that view. You've deliberately said, I don't want it. And that is your
When's the last time an atheist came and knocked your door to give you leaflets and tell you you should be going to church? It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Exactly. Do you know how many times people come to my door, knock my door, and tell me I'm wrong for what I believe? So
I don't think to put it that way.
In the street?
I'm pretty sure they don't put it that way. But
I have a blown up
argument. Hold on.
A woman about 70 years of age.
Hold on now, Darren.
Let's
give David a chance to respond to you.
I think anyone who comes to your door has an interest in you. You can close the door. You say you're not interested. I don't want to hear that. That's absolutely fine. But it is our privilege, and again, I feel it's our commitment, our commission, to bring the message of the gospel to people. And I hope you understand that we're not coming from an arrogant or an aggressive position. We do have a genuine concern. We see the gospel as a life-changing message, and that's what we need for this country, what we need for this nation. People can either accept it or reject it, but it is our privilege to present it to them, and that's what we do.
Maliki?
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sorry I missed the caller's name. And
Darren.
I agree with a lot of what Darren is saying. I mean, it really annoys me when people call it my home and give me religious tracts. I really think that is intrusive and unwarranted. But on the other hand, Darren seems to describe, he seems to want a kind of public space in which everybody's well-behaved and there's no noise and nobody's voicing any opinion or putting forward any ideas. Where actually, you know, you go into a good, busy city. I mean, there's nothing as exhilarating sometimes as being at the heart of a city where there's this seething mass of opinion and attitude and noise. And that's what I like. When you played that clip at the beginning of the woman in the middle of Belfast shouting, Belfast needs to read the Bible, you know, I love that. I think that's absolutely certain. I'm not going to go home and read the Bible on account of it. But I do love the sense of drama that's in it all. I mean, some of the preachers that stood in Corn Market and belaboured us with these testimonies are the most utterly tedious and boring people to listen to. But there have been great ones, and they've been public performers. And Ian Paisley was one of them. And a lot of people from the tradition that I come out of never take Paisley seriously in terms of his ideas.
Here's Charlie.
Here's a clown. Here's a great performer.
Here's Charlie in Carrador. Hello, Charlie.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, we did outreach there in the Cathedral Quarter. I've done it for over 3 years there, and the guys are still continuing to do it. And while, yes, there is, you know, laws to abide by, and it's good to hear that the preachers in Ballymena have toned it down a bit, we did it a slightly different way. I'm one for bringing people in. You know, and I understand Darren's frustrations, but when we did it in a street corner there, we were inviting people in through tea and coffee. We had a wee cup of tea and a cup of coffee there, and we had chats, and we talked to people face-to-face, toe-to-toe, you know, and we shared the gospel. And I listened to frustrations and angers and hates from people, you know, but we were able, through that one-on-one, we were able to give, this is where street preaching loses out, I think. It only, you know, preaches at people. We talked to people and answered their concerns and answered their questions and their fears. You know, I've talked to every nation under the sun has crossed our table.
Listen, Charlie, thank you very much indeed, sir. Thank you. We're out of time. Maliki, thank you. Reverend Divil McElveen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.